produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Thursday, April 24th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Don't forget to get on the phone and call your congressman at 202-224-3121. Tell them to support Barney Frank's H.R. 5843, the bill to end federal marijuana penalties for possession of 100 grams or less, and Ron Paul's H.R. 5842, the bill to end DEA raids in the 12 medical marijuana states. Just call 202-224-3121. They'll ask for your zip code and put you in touch with your federal representative. Today on the Daily Audio Stash, we visit with Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at the success by a right-wing anti-drug group to fight hemp products at your local Walmart. Cannabis Carrie brings us some dance hall for our musical break today, featuring a Canadian DJ called Kid Faringa and a song called Light Up. Then we'll speak with Brad Ernst from Texas Normal. He's got some information for Austin area residents of the Lone Star State regarding next week's upcoming Global Marijuana March in May. We've got a lot to cover, so sit back and relax with a tasty beverage and your favorite strain and enjoy your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Argentina decriminalizes cannabis and drug consumption. From the Cato at Liberty blog. This just in, a federal court in Argentina has decriminalized the personal consumption of drugs in that country. According to the court's ruling, punishing drug users only, quote, creates an avalanche of cases targeting consumers without climbing up in the ladder of drug trafficking, end quote. Last month at a UN meeting in Vienna, Argentina's Minister of Justice, Anibal Fernandez, said that the policy of punishing drug consumers was a, quote, total failure, end quote. Well, we know it's a total failure. Alcohol prohibition proved that, and marijuana prohibition continues to prove it. In 2006, we arrested 830,000 people in this country for marijuana, and 89% of those arrests were for simple possession alone. What exactly did we solve by running those people through our legal system? Volcano pot farmer given 20-year term. From the Honolulu Advertiser. Hilo, Hawaii. A Big Island man was sentenced to up to 20 years in prison yesterday for commercial promotion of marijuana, the only case in recent memory where a first conviction in a marijuana case prompted such a long sentence. Volcano resident David Finley Jr., age 65, was arrested January 29, 2007, in a raid on his Volcano ranch that turned up three indoor growing operations on the property, including a greenhouse attached to Finley's home, equipment for manufacturing hashish, and more than 75 pounds of dried marijuana and other drugs. The dried marijuana found on the property included 127 sealed 1-ounce packets labeled with prices of $280 to $300 each, according to court records. Finley pleaded guilty on February 14 to two counts of commercial promotion of marijuana and yesterday told Hilo Circuit Judge Glenn Hara that, quote, "I'm terribly sorry for what I've done. I know I've done wrong, and I have to be responsible for that," end quote. More than 90 letters of support were submitted to Hara asking for leniency, including letters from members of Finley's church, his childhood friends, college friends, and others. Finley's lawyer, Brian DeLima, asked that Finley be sentenced to probation, but Hara told Finley that, quote, "any sentence other than prison would undermine the community's respect for the law," end quote. He then imposed two 20-year terms that will run concurrently. Prosecutors also filed to seize the Volcano Ranch in a forfeiture, and DeLima said that the Finley family will pay $85,000 to settle that case. Two 20-year terms for gardening? 240 months? Judge Hara, do you know that the average incarceration for murder and non-negligent manslaughter is only 232 months? I hope we all feel safer, knowing that this 65-year-old church-going grandfather will probably die in prison. That ought to send a message to the community, huh, Judge Hara? The judge asked why a person with Finley's background would be a commercial marijuana grower. Did you catch that part about an ounce of dried weed costing about as much as pure palladium mined from the earth? It's the prohibition that creates the profits that leads to three indoor grow operations. The war on marijuana is just a money-making venture for everyone involved. Finley made money selling the marijuana. Now law enforcement and government get to make some money from asset forfeiture and the $85,000 fine. Operation Green Reaper brings pot arrests in Washington. Federal agents and prosecutors are sending a message to commercial marijuana growers moving from British Columbia to Western Washington. Stay out. The message came in the form of a task force of federal, state, and local cops that swooped down at 6 a.m. Wednesday to conduct searches at about 14 locations and 10 vehicles in the Seattle area. Their targets were two garden supply companies and a mortgage broker that authorities say provide the horticultural supplies, financing, and other support that make the indoor pot operations possible. The marijuana grows, run primarily by motorcycle gangs or Vietnamese immigrant organized crime groups, have become a plague in British Columbia, First Assistant U.S. Attorney Mark Bartlett said. With border security tightened after 9/11, some growers believed they could avoid having to run the gauntlet at the U.S.-Canadian border by starting grow operations in Washington. If found guilty of conspiracy to manufacture marijuana, they face a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years to life in prison and a $4 million fine. Federal agents were poised to arrest several people named in the indictments, said Assistant U.S. Attorney Sarah Vogel, the prosecutor in charge of the 15-month-long investigation dubbed Operation Green Reaper. Bartlett portrayed marijuana grow operations as violent and the houses they occupy as miniature toxic waste dumps filled with pesticides, fertilizers, mold, and debris. He said five people have been killed in Tacoma, Everett, and Covington in connection with grow houses. Arnold Morin, Drug Enforcement Administration Special Agent in Charge, said about 450 grow houses have been raided in Washington in the past couple of years, and many of them had been booby-trapped. First off, you have to love the militaristic names they come up with. Operation Green Reaper? What, was Operation Gardening Apocalypse taken? In this story, we're seeing more of that talking point that I warned you about earlier. The indoor marijuana grow as a toxic waste dump. Meth lab, grow op, what's the difference? That's the message they're pushing here. Look, just re-legalize it and everyone can grow their own, indoors or outdoors, and large commercial operations won't have to be hermetically sealed mold factories in suburban neighborhoods. What terrible thing will happen if marijuana is legal? People might smoke it? Well, guess what? We're smoking it already. All you're accomplishing with the Green Reaper operations is jacking up the price of marijuana, which makes it more lucrative for the motorcycle and Vietnamese gangs you're fighting against. Of course, that's the point of the drug war. The more money you throw at it, the worse the problem becomes, which then requires that you throw more money at it. Cops win, prisons win, politicians win, and drug dealers win. Home where 2-month-old infant died contained marijuana, police say. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania police seized marijuana, smoking pipes, and infant items from a home where a two-month-old baby was found smashed against a sofa cushion and not breathing Tuesday morning. The baby's mother, Aubrey Quinn, age 24, told Bethlehem Police Detective William DeSedlo that she was staying at her mother's home Monday night. She said she drank beer and smoked marijuana before falling asleep on a sofa with her infant daughter on her chest, according to court documents. Police filed a search warrant with District Judge Nancy Matos Gonzalez's office Tuesday, and the inventory was returned this afternoon. In addition to the marijuana and two pipes, police seized infant formula and blankets, police said. Quinn told police she placed the infant, Charlana, on a sofa about 12:30 in the morning and then went to sleep on an adjacent sofa. About 2 or 3 in the morning, she said she heard the baby making noises, so she put the baby on her chest and fell asleep. She awoke around 7 in the morning and found Charlana face down between her body and the back of the sofa. When police and emergency responders arrived at the home at 7:05 a.m., Charlana was unresponsive and not breathing. A second search warrant calls for officials to take blood and urine samples from Quinn to determine the level of alcohol or drugs in her system. These tests were still pending today. Well, wow, the death of this child, of course, is a great tragedy. But it was an accident that could have happened to anyone, even without beer or weed. These scary headlines, though, help the reader infer that somehow the marijuana and the baby's death are related. There is no headline of home where two-month infant died contained beer, because beer is legal. Check the timeline. She smoked marijuana and drank beer. She puts the infant on one sofa and herself on a different sofa at 12:30. Between 2 and 3, she wakes up to put the infant on her chest. Now, I'm assuming that when she woke up at that point, she didn't fire up a bowl and chug a beer. So she's had at least an hour and a half to 2.5 hours of sleep since her last intoxicant. At least. If the idea here is to blame her intoxication on the baby's death, then the beer is more to blame here, since your body will remain drunk much longer than it will remain high. This young mother has already suffered enough.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 12 states today, and THCF has medical clinics in 6 of those states. Our physicians help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help them obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at www.hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
We're joined once again by the Executive Director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Alan St. Pierre, by telephone from Washington, D.C. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ, how are you today?
Doing great. Did you have yourself a good 420 weekend?
I had a very enjoyable 420 weekend. It began with some radio show host rousing me at 420 a.m.
I'll bet you had to do a whole lot of interviews for 420.
I did. It was probably one of the busiest ones, probably 20, 25 before the day was over, because as you can guess, as the sun goes around the earth, it's a 420 every hour.
That, like we say at the beginning of every show, it's 420 somewhere in the world.
And it sure is on 420, I can tell you that much.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you today, you know, 420 came and went, and then 422, of course, was Earth Day, and hemp plays a big part in our fight to end adult marijuana prohibition, and the industrial uses of hemp that are, you know, well documented. And I saw this story that you had posted out on the Normal blog at blog.normal.org about Walmart's anti-hemp campaign. What's going on with this?
Well, starting about 10 years ago, as anti-drug groups realized that hemp was clearly an obvious discussion point for reformers, because self-evidently, when the rest of the world mainly does not allow people to smoke marijuana, but they do allow for the non-psychoactive production of the plant, meaning that any marijuana plant that has 1% below of tetrahydrocannabinol is by, under UN treaties, hemp. So all around this great earth of ours, marijuana is grown and produced for industrial purposes in virtually every country except our country, because our reefer madness is so extreme. And so as part of, to reinforce that extreme zealotry, you have the anti-drug groups, and they have been cajoling the federal government to ban hemp, and the federal government tried, and thankfully through the efforts of Vote Hemp and the HIA, the Hemp Industries Association, they successfully sued the government, along with help from Dr. Bronner Soap, to effectively make the argument, hey, marijuana and hemp are different. The federal government should allow the production of hemp. Now, while the federal government hasn't moved on that, a number of states have, and this is very much like what has happened with medical marijuana, because it's such common sense that eventually the local politicians have to go with this common sense and the will of the people, and it'll percolate up to the federal government. That hasn't happened yet on hemp. So one of the other angles that the anti-drug groups do, and this is a tried-and-true method in any group that's trying to, for good or bad purposes, effectively boycott a product or a company. So one of the most infamous right-wing lunatic anti-drug groups, which is really more an anti-cannabis group, is Drug Free America Foundation out of Florida, which is almost singularly sponsored and paid for by right-wing Republican nutjob Melvin Sembler, who's one of the biggest fundraisers for Bush. He was a big fundraiser for Romney. He's jumped over the McCain campaign. And he, for almost 15 to 20 years, has been funding anti-drug front organizations. He fronts another one called SOS, Save Our Society, as an example. And so their principal employee, as far as I can see, they only have one employee, this woman, Calvina Fay, she writes to the ONDCP and to the head of Walmart and asks Walmart to stop selling any product associated with hemp whatsoever. And she cites three examples. She cites books, two of which have to do with the history of hemp and why it's an environmentally safe product, and another book on hemp jewelry and how to make it. And they went after a absolutely obscure Canadian rock band called Chicks Dig It, because they have a song offensively named Hemp Hemp Hooray, which last time I checked is one of the biggest cheers at the Seattle Hemp Fest.
Yeah.
So it's just remarkable to see the attempts of anti-drug groups to stop something as logical, as environmentally safe, as pragmatic as hemp, because altogether they are so intolerant of cannabis, they don't want any human interaction with the plant at all, whether you want to use it as an adult in the privacy of your home, whether you're sick, dying, or sense threatened and a doctor would prescribe it to you, or in this case, even for non psychoactive industrial use of hemp. They are so extreme in their want for a blanket prohibition in this country.
Yeah, this is just plain, you know, if we were talking about a race, we'd call it racism. It's plantism. I don't have a right word for it, but one thing I'm hoping does happen, though, is that the sales of the Chicks Dig It album go through the roof. I think that would be going to be a nice response to this. Now, this is they were targeting Walmart here, and so now this was just not the Walmart Corporation, but was this this was Walmart Corporation to the CEO.
Yeah, Walmart Corporation, which of course is the biggest retailer on the face of the earth and sells tens of thousands of doodads and widgets and all kinds of products and services. And so I went up to their webpage and extensively looked for anything having to do with hemp, and I could not find anything. I then, even though I live in Washington, D.C., and we don't have Walmarts here, I went out to the lovely suburbs of Maryland and went to a big old Walmart, all by itself, sort of an interesting affair for someone like myself. Went in there and could not find any hemp products whatsoever, whether it had to do with books or twine or any of the products listed, except for the lovely Chicks Dig It CD.
Oh, the Chicks Dig It CD was there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chick Diggit survived the wrath of the DFAF, apparently, and that album is still available from Walmart, despite the fact that they mentioned the word hemp.
Oh, no. Now, this is something that we can get our listeners in on here too. If you've been to a Walmart in your area, take a look for any hemp products, and if you don't find any, make noise about it. Talk to the store manager, ask why you can't get any hemp products. I know that I was at a recently shopping too, and I was at a Target store, and they had a big, you know, clearly displayed on the aisle rack of this hemp lotion, different hemp lotions and hemp body balms and shampoos and such. So there are companies out there that are getting on the hemp bandwagon, and I guess Walmart's just not one of them.
Absolutely, and I think, unfortunately, they've probably fallen victim to this right-wing influence, and you know, all the right people were CC'd on this particular letter, so the head of Walmart knew that, you know, this wasn't just some grandmotherly type writing from Florida. No, this was one of the biggest Republican fundraisers in the country. John Walters, the drug czar, was brought in on all of this, and you know, the Walmart family is sort of famously, you know, conservative Republican on these sort of topics, and so it's pretty sad to see that they're not getting involved with hemp. Whereas, your point's well taken, there are now hundreds of hemp products found in a lot of retail stores and shops. In my experience at a Whole Foods, for example, one can find two or three dozen types of products that are made from hemp, and I too have seen these lotions that you mentioned. My better half Sarah, you know, if you can't find really high end stuff at a body shop, or we're not near one of those for skin, she will always go with the hemp solution products found at major supermarkets, but unfortunately not Walmart, apparently.
Now, this was all instigated by Calvina Fay from the Drug Free America Foundation down there in Florida.
Drug Free America Foundation has an even more nefarious background, and that is one of the other ways that Melvin Sembler and his family has made money throughout the 80s, 90s, beyond furniture companies and developing malls, is he used to own the Straight program, which in the 80s was like a $5,000 a week program where, you know, if your 15-year-old got caught with a little marijuana in your upper middle class, rather than the kid go to jail, you would send him to the Straight program. And this Straight program was shut down by virtually every state because in the minds of many, editorial boards, lawyers who effectively sued the company, not only did that provide treatment for marijuana, obviously there's not a whole lot one can do for anybody who's particularly using marijuana, there's not a lot of adverse treatment, chemical intervention, etc., but it boiled down to almost torture, and many, many kids effectively sued and got damages. And states and state regulatory agencies shut the Straight program down, and people can read a lot online about Melvin Sembler and his long history with making money off of prohibition. So, you know, when I often give lectures, as I do, colleges and around the United States to business associations, and people say, well, if Normal is right and all these drug policy reform groups are correct that we need to examine marijuana policy, well, why is it still illegal after all these years? Who's lobbying against you? Well, I always break it into five groups, and one of those groups are companies that make money off of prohibition, that they enjoy the status quo and literally would go out of business if the government did not essentially arrest their clientele and bring them to them in chains. And so ultimately, folks who are involved in marijuana law reform, and most notably the media, they really need to recognize who is out there advocating against us and what can effectively, civilly, peacefully be done to counter their measures. And certainly going to a Walmart and saying, hey, you know, why don't you still sell this product like a Target or a Stop and Shop or a Safeway does? You know, I like to go fly fishing. So, you know, I walk into what I consider one of the most staid, boring, upper middle class stores, an Orvis fly fishing store. And as I walk in there, one of the first things I saw was this beautiful backpack. And while it caught my attention just because it was a backpack, how delighted was I to see that it was a Terra Hemp backpack. Mm. And the idea that Orvis will sell hemp, but Walmart won't.
That's crazy. Well, Alan, thanks for joining us here on the Audio Stash. It's always informative when we get to talk with you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Russ.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana. especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. For those of you who like dancehall, today we have Kid Farigna with his cannabis culture music hit, Light Up. Dancehall music was born in the 1970s as the other Jamaican popular music, and many consider it the roots of hip-hop. It has evolved into a DJ-driven electronica, and this toker tune from the Canadian DJ, Kid, is a fun, rhythm-based hit that you will love if you're a fan of dancehall or new to the genre. This track can be found on a collection of great dancehall from the Orlando-based crew, Rockus. You can get more information on this album and this artist at our website, stash.normal.org, where you can also find an MP3 download of this song. It's Kid Farigna with Light Up.
Hollywood, weed, marijuana, success, chronic, purple haze, sticky, icky, grass, reefer, hot, herb, ganja, Mary Jane.
When the music a beat and the vibes them right, nobody da fuss and nobody da fight. The girl dem a wine and the girl dem a grind. When the gun pan a girl and don't waste no time.
Light.
Got the vibes them right, so well tied, everything nice. Champion a beat all night and the girls them hype. Me don't see a shot in me like, must get that one them tonight. She catch me eyesight, girl a my type, that's right. Not itch me, not think twice, she get the invite. Me link with me later tonight, little more me deal with that right, right, right. When the music a beat and the vibes them right. Cause nobody na fuss and nobody na fight. Watch the girl them a whine and the girl them a grind. When the gun pan a girl and no waste no time.
Light up.
Light up the high grade, good purple haze. Now waste it till we don't have time to gaze. Man, I blaze it till we get high like a space. And I wine out the girl, them waist get that straight. Champagne, we a bust by the case. So when man a drink, man come cut for days. Tell you how the way you we stay. We not rearrange, not change, not care what them say. When the music a beat and the vibes them right. Tell nobody not fuss and nobody not fight. Watch the girl, them a wine and the girl, them a grind. When the gun pan a girl and no waste no time.
Light.
No time for stress, don't let the stress. Don't bust in my wet and let the stress. No time for lose, don't let the stress. Keep back and cruise and let the stress. Got the vibes them right, so we'll tight, everything nice. Champion and beat all night and the girls them hype. Me don't see a shot in me like, must get that one there tonight. She catch me eyesight, the girl of my type, that's right. Not itch me, not think twice, she get the invite. Me link with me later tonight, little more me deal with that right, right, right. When the music a beat and the vibes them right. Nobody not fuss and nobody not fight. Watch the girl dem a whine and the girl dem a grind. When the gun pan a girl and no waste no time.
Light up. This is South Rockers.
Get drunk, get drunk, get drunk.
Best Spanish Purple Haze. Icky, Icky, Grass, Reaper.
I smoke lots of weed, man. I plant that big old seed, man. I smoke every strain there is in town. From the super sticky green to the headache mix brown, I smoke every strain there is around.
I know that I like it. I know that lots of people like it. So let's see what happens if you overdo it.
Do we have any pot smokers here tonight?
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm about to get super high.
The term medical marijuana, you've basically, you drank the Kool-Aid, because there is no such thing as medical marijuana.
I'm going to smoke pot every day for 30 days and try to remember to film it.
And my movie's going to be called Super High Me,
or Business as Usual. I haven't decided yet on the title.
I'm going to be hospitalized, I think.
Some people call it dope, some think it smells like burning rope. I tell you, it relieves my mind.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Okay, we're going to go to the Lone Star State now. We're joined by the Public Relations Director for Texas Normal, Brad Ernst, joining us on the telephone today. Brad, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, we saw some really good news come out of Texas with a medical marijuana case that you had down there where a gentleman was able to use a necessity defense. That was some good news to hear.
Yeah, that was great news. That's the first time down here in Texas that that happened. So hopefully we'll see it happen a lot more in the coming year.
Absolutely. And one of the ways that we can get the message out is through our activism and our protests. We wanted to talk to you about the upcoming Million Marijuana March and what's going on in Texas for the march on Saturday, May 3rd.
Well, here in Texas, we're calling it the Texas Cannabis Crusade. It's on May 3rd in conjunction with the Worldwide Million Marijuana March, and it's an all-day festivities. Starts at 10 o'clock at Zilker Park, that's on Barton Springs in Austin, and we're going to march at high noon down Barton Springs to the Capitol building, where we'll have the South Steps for about 3 hours. We're going to have speakers, music. We have three bands. We've got the Jitterbug Vipers, Shotgun Hustler, and Champagne with Friends performing. We also have Bruce Fox, who's the attorney. He's a lifetime member of Normal. Like I said, we're having speakers at the Capitol. Miss High Times 2007 will be there to give her speech, throw her two cents in. Like I said, Bruce Fox, the attorney for Normal here in Texas, will be speaking to tell people what they can do to help themselves if they're ever in a situation where they need legal help in a marijuana cannabis case in Texas.
Well, a lot of this is just being prepared for dealing with police and knowing what to say and what your rights are. How does Texas Normal help our cannabis community down there in Texas to understand these rights?
Well, we're out all the time. We're out at events around in Austin, and hopefully the other chapters in Texas do the same around Houston and San Antonio. We go out, we spread the information that you need, the good information, what's going on with legislation, what's going on with what you need to know if you get pulled over. We have the Normal Freedom Cards that we pass out, distribute. We have meetings once a month to inform everybody of what their rights are.
How can people find out more about these meetings? Do you guys have a website or a phone number that people can get a hold of you?
We do. The website is just texasnormal.org, texasnorml.org. And that has information how you can join the local Texas chapter of Normal. It also has information about our meetings, our upcoming events. The blog is on there. We keep the news. So pretty much if you add texasnormal.org to your bookmarks list, you'll be up to date on cannabis in Texas.
I was wondering, you know, Ron Paul just recently put forth a bill to protect medical marijuana states, and he also co-sponsored a bill with Democrat Barney Frank to decriminalize the possession of up to 3.5 ounces of marijuana. How does that fly down in Texas? Are you getting a lot of response about that bill?
Yes, we are getting response. Everybody that we have mentioned that bill to is definitely in support of it. Of course, we're usually preaching to the choir at the events, but we do have... Well, definitely, if we can reach as many people that we can reach with our message, we usually don't hear anybody that disagrees with us, and pretty much that's the standard, I'm sure, wherever you go. I mean, of course, there are people that disagree, but by and large, Texas is a huge state with tons of voters, and if we just had the voter efficacy that I don't know, maybe California had, because California's passed these laws over a decade ago, and we're still sort of in the dark ages out here in Texas. So my opinion, hopefully that we have enough support from Texas to get all of our representatives to vote in favor of those bills.
We definitely hope so, and we want to see all of the states be able to decriminalize marijuana to some degree. There's absolutely no reason to arrest and prosecute responsible American marijuana consumers. It's just a waste of time and money. So we want to thank you, Brad Ernst, for the Public Relations Director from Texas Normal, for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. And again, the website is texasnormal.org. Brad, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a cannabis quote from the 1999 report from the Institute of Medicine. Quote, marijuana is not a completely benign substance. It is a powerful drug with a variety of effects. However, except for the harms associated with smoking, the adverse effects of marijuana use are within the range of effects tolerated for other medications. End quote. Well, that's right. Marijuana is certainly not any more harmful than Vicodin or Percocet or any of the other pain-killing remedies that are dispensed by our doctors quite readily. It's time we end adult marijuana prohibition and let this medicine get to the people who really need it. Take care of each other, tokers.